Project Lawful aka Plane Crash by Yarwane aka Eliezer Yudkowsky and Lynn Tamande. My fun research project has more existential risk than I anticipated. Episode 125.
PL timestamp, day 17, 13. Yes, it's still nighttime. PL place stamp, Osirian, Black Dome.
Prediction markets work, Merenre says, ecstatic. 90% chance they have them in Keltum's world of origin, and the rest is mostly they have something in that genre, but even better, which I'm not thinking of.
The Pharaoh of Osirion has a really appalling headache because of Abadar directly communicating detailed information again. He's grateful for the detailed information, but sort of vaguely wishing that conduit of the will and knowledge of Abadar in the material plane and person in charge of running Abadar's country were separate jobs, and that he had the second one. The Chelish prediction markets are even smaller than ours, and ours only work a little bit. They're not really better than just having you guess, and Cheliax doesn't have a U, I hope.
Oh yes, the Chelish prediction markets are probably doomed, Merenre says cheerfully. Unless there's something substantial missing from what you conveyed, they don't have good liquidity, and they are far too small for anyone to earn good money by spending all their time betting on prediction markets, which I think is the key ingredient for prediction markets to be better than useless. The only thing Cheliax is achieving is making themselves perfectly legible to you and doing their small part to rebuild prophecy out of contracts so as to restore it to Abadar. But they almost certainly got the idea from Keltham, and that is almost certainly because Keltham's world has it. It's one of the early things you'd reinvent, if you were reinventing, and it's not something you'd invent like this from scratch if you weren't accustomed to it. So prediction markets work, which is why Keltham told Cheliax about them, and Cheliax knows they're ill-equipped to lie to Keltham, which is why they now set up their own presumably secret markets on whatever the markets are on.
I actually think that the interesting part of the picture here is what the markets are on. Whether Yaissa ends up with an incredibly interesting background or problem or superpowers on account of tropes, since she apparently matched one of Keltham's fetishes. I mean, what?
I see no further than what I said.
What is it, tropes?
Have we called in the Chelish specialist?
They'd never heard of it.
Is it a sex thing? It's got to be a sex thing.
Do you want a market on that?
What we chose, that this isn't just leaking our intelligence directly to all of the gods. I was not aware that prediction markets were an avenue of vulnerability like that.
Only we can see the mortal world so clearly, where it is engaged in contracts and bets, and only through us can Abadar convey what we see. Otherwise, this could keep happening to someone else. And it's very costly, obviously. We're spending thousands of years of normal intervention here. Another god willing to pay such extraordinary costs might be able to spy on us, but not through the markets. They'd see through whatever lens they see through best. That said, our tropes, a sex thing, does not sound like a useful market in light of the limitations of low liquidity markets previously discussed.
How about, whether Caden Kalian is actually backing the project in exchange for a hell that Caden Kalian considers improved? Or if Caden Kalian Pilar's curse is planning to outright betray the project at some point? Or if something else is going on?
They're plausibly right about that one. Something else is going on. Caden Kalian wouldn't tolerate hell in anything like its present form. I think they're operating from the assumption that Keltham's presence means they already win, but I'm actually at less than 10%. On them winning. They can't sustain this for long. So Caden Kalian's unlikely to be negotiating the terms of his surrender. I don't think he can use his oracle as a slave towards values she doesn't have. It's not in his nature. As for why he's helping fence out Yomede, I have no idea.
I think it has something to do with Nefreti's songbird story. There's a long silence. I have no further analysis. Perhaps if we needed to do fewer things that cause terrific headaches, I'd be able to think more.
The songbird is Cheliax, and Caden Kalian is Metaphor Cheliax, which sent the songbird to Metaphor Osarion, which is Asmodeus.
We have a pretty strong consensus in the direction of the songbird being Keltham.
I strongly suspect that trying to make sense of Nefreti Klepati not only won't work, but is the kind of thing that can't work. If she wanted us to understand what's going on, she would have told us what was going on.
Then why tell us the songbird thing at all?
I don't know. It was almost like she wasn't talking to us. This is worsening my headache. What's the third market?
Whether Tonya or Peranza or some other girl cracks this week, which is a nice bump to the odds they can't sustain the deception for a full month. They're already worried about people who try to comprehend any other ideology breaking down.
Tonya, Peranza, are those among the families we grabbed?
Tonya? Yes. Peranza, no. Tonya's parents don't know anything. They are farmers who keep their heads down. We wouldn't previously have identified either girl as particularly likely to defect, but we have very little on the internals of Project Lawful. I don't think the trading in diss tracks it all that closely.
Are we deferring to them on the odds of the girls having a breakdown?
My instinct is that they're underestimating it, because they don't have a full picture of the threat surface, of how many things about human values are incompatible with Asmodeanism, about how many lies Cheliax is telling. I expect no one in Cheliax could even list all the lies. But I'd still give good odds they make it through this week. Worse odds they make it through a month.
Then we'd better start preparing for once Keltham arrives here. Which means preparing for war, I think. Your Majesty, are you up for this?
If no reason to expect tomorrow to be any better, says the Pharaoh through gritted teeth.
Keltham Stamp, Day 17, 13. Endless Night. PL Space Stamp, Cheliax, Ostenso Coastline, Fortress of Law.
Asmodia has now delivered rather a long lecture on Alter Cheliax. She's tried to explain the basic concepts of how Keltham is not looking for things inexplicable in Alter Cheliax, but less likely there than in his concept of the conspiracy, using the example of Ioni telling him a library book was missing. She's explained that Keltham didn't see Manohar giving Asmodia her headband as especially being a sign of the conspiracy, but that he'll be narrowing down which conspiracies are then more likely on the assumption that this is a conspiracy. She's conducted a number of individual interviews that have stretched on for a while. She probably won't be able to finish this all in one night without a security, or one of the interviewees, or Asmodia herself noticing that their own universe is not being incredibly consistent here. Yeah, Asmodia doesn't think she's going to manage to get this one done on time, unfortunately. These supposedly smart people are not instantaneously understanding the law of probability and all of its consequences for some weird reason. So apparently the new researchers aren't going to be introduced to Keltham tomorrow. Day after, maybe? They can spend tomorrow's daytime reviewing previous Keltham lecture transcripts. Or maybe a bit of time at the secondary site, hanging around the abducted Tal'Dorei girls pretending to have been likewise abducted themselves. That'll get them some experience pretending to be non-Asmodeans to other non-Asmodeans. They should not spend too much time around the existing girls before then. Keltham will certainly be on the lookout for signs that conspirators know each other too well.
PL Timestamp, Day 18, 14.
Keltham now has an enormous quantity of resist energy, acid spells, and a couple of protection from energy acid spells, and some of the cheaper raw materials and reagents he's requested have arrived. Today is an acid day. Keltham is going to experiment with regularizing the reactions using prestidigitation, including more arcane endeavors to modify stuff like the binding forces of outermost electron orbitals, or more mundane attempts to prestidigate more precisely adjusted exact temperatures inside a reaction vessel. Though he's improvised some attempted means of measuring temperatures inside pressurized boiling acid containers, haha, oops, that sure exploded. Ione maybe did have a point about having some appropriate spells up. That would have been a lot more painful, and possibly a lot harder to heal, if it hadn't just been the boiling liquid damage he took there. Resist energy, fire, should work to prevent a repeat, right? Back to figuring out how to precisely regulate the steps of acid manufacturing and purification using prestidigitation. Break time. Lunch. Asmodia wants to run a daily practice prediction market about who Keltham sleeps with each night, which Keltham doesn't get to see until the next day. Keltham will quietly smile to himself and set up a market like that, and see how long it takes the women to work out that they should only trade at extreme bid-ask spreads when people might be betting using private information. Asmodia wants to experiment with policy prediction markets, too. Asmodia wants to bet on which avenues work out for mining spell silver. Keltham will explain that this sort of thing works better when anybody actually knows anything, but sure. Maybe they can get the spell silver mining experts to bet, too? It's actually kind of complicated when the policy prediction market is trying to do a continuous quantity like when spell silver manufacture drops in cost by how much, but they can arbitrarily declare the threshold to be a 25% cost drop in 1 month and have policy markets on whether that's more likely to get done if Keltham invests his effort in manufacturing cheaper acid for the current process, or in perfecting spell silver extraction that works on the alternate spell silver ore. Afternoon. More acid. Make all the acid. Perfect all acid. Manufacturing processes. Faster reactions. Higher yields. Higher purity. Anything is possible with prestidigitation. Or maybe it would be if Keltham could actually solve or remember any quantum mechanical equations for anything besides the hydrogen atom equation. But Keltham is nonetheless making slow progress and has only doused himself with boiling acid again. Twice. Keltham is trying to explain what he's doing to some of the watching researchers while he does it, but it's not going great. What with nobody except him actually understanding any chemistry, let alone physics, and Keltham not really having time to slow down and explain. Which, yes, makes Keltham the only experimenter, and no, that's not particularly a fast way of getting work done. But Keltham thinks he'll have an easier time explaining once Keltham himself has some idea of what can be done with prestidigitation, really. Actually, in retrospect, they could have run a policy prediction market on how fast research would go, depending on whether Keltham tried to explain chemistry first, so others could help, or tried to do things himself to understand where he needed help and what to explain. That was something the other researchers might have had an opinion about. Oh well. Break for spellcasting practice. Keltham still wants to be a proper wizard. He continues to feel weird about bugging his god for spells every morning, and would feel better about that if the spells had a price list. More acid! Keltham needs oxygen! Even if he can manage to make element 20 taste like it has 5 of 18 electrons in the outermost shell, instead of 2 of 18 using prestidigitation, you still can't get sulfur trioxide from sulfur dioxide without oxygen. But Cheliax has already discovered water and can produce water at scale, and water contains oxygen. All they need is a sufficiently controlled form of what the locals charmingly refer to as lightning-aspected energy, which, surely, somebody will have on hand. That's not something anyone has on hand, apparently. It was literally built into a sex toy. No, Keltham's not using the actual sex toy until he knows it's replaceable. It has limited charges, and they're going to need a lot of that stuff. Also, for cuddle room purposes, you'd probably use alternating current rather than direct current, Keltham thinks. Ha ha ha, right then. Set aside lightning-aspected energy for now. They're just going to build a magnet-based generator and power it with a primitive-ass hand crank, unless somebody can get a controlled directional lightning source to him before then. Keltham can leave directions on how people could possibly experiment with that if he's not doing this full-time tomorrow. And then they run that energy through pure water to create hydrogen and oxygen at the two terminals. That should give Keltham the ability to turn sulfur dioxide into sulfur trioxide if the element 20-23 prestidigitation trick works, and he can dissolve sulfur trioxide back into boiling concentrated sulfuric acid to create an explosion, probably, but an explosion of progress. Where's Asmodia? Keltham hasn't seen Asmodia for a while. Did she get dissolved in acid at some point? She went off to teach some of the incoming students arriving shortly some of the law that Keltham has already taught, in hopes of saving him time. That makes sense. Good thinking there. They didn't really do very much that needed Asmodia today. Good night, everyone. He will probably be sort of tired tomorrow. Sorry about all the exploding boiling acid, if that bothered anyone.
I have no words. In a sense, I think that was unambiguously the best day the project has ever had. He didn't have any questions for us, and he taught us, quite a lot of things that appear to have the potential to be very important. How is everybody in his home dimension not already dead?
Maybe that's how they selected so hard on wisdom.
I feel that if Doth Illani had been selected hard on wisdom, we should not have seen what we have seen this day.
He's probably not going to keep this pace up, but if he does, we will just let him. Tell him Asmodia's teaching the new arrivals, sit back and make sure he doesn't die.
Think I might have mistimed one of my own resist energy spells and gotten some lung damage off inhaling acid fumes. Should I go get that healed, or do we want to see anything about what happens to me if I don't?
Go get it healed. If for some reason we want to know what happens to you if you inhale acid fumes, we can try it on someone less valuable.
She obeys, of course, and heads off, though she's a bit puzzled about what her valuableness has to do with it. She could always get it healed later.
I now see new, unfortunate romantic possibilities that I was not seeing a minute earlier, and which I wish, indeed, I had never seen.
At his current rate, I think Keltham will be kinky enough for Pilar in, like, 2 more weeks.
Yes, but what if their romance ends up being not that of rapist and victim, but Nathesian mad experimenter and willing experimental subject? The tropes wouldn't have brought them together based on a fake compatibility, is what I'm worried about here.
At this point, I'm just praying that all of us doing whatever we are naturally inclined to in bed will somehow make him evil, because lying doesn't seem to work, and so far the truth is working quite well. If Pilar wants to be dipped in acid, she can be my guest.
Well, you can probably feel a little less worried about what Lord Nethys might be trying to accomplish here, because that's seeming sort of obvious. I'm worrying at this point that I may end up as a heretic too, just like the rest of Project Lawful. Only in my case that would make me a Nethesian heretic, one who has started to believe that some things should not, in fact, explode.
Well, you know, if you ever get in the mood to renounce your god and sell your soul, we're here.
Let me think about that. Still thinking. It's such a difficult question.
If 1,000 years from now, evil Keltham and I are ruling a layer of hell acknowledged as objectively the most awesome place in the multiverse, you can't say you weren't warned.
I hope your worldview doesn't disintegrate in another week after Keltham proves using cold, absolute, indisputable law that the objective awesomeness of an afterlife is determined by its number of books.
Hell probably has more books than other places, since it has more slaves to make them.
Doesn't count if they're all copies of the same book. Writing new books is a bit harder to do with slaves. I suppose your vision of your hell lair actually is one where the slaves write new books, isn't it?
If it's valuable, then I think it ought to be possible to have my slaves do it. And writing books is obviously valuable.
I sincerely and unironically wish you good luck with that.
PL timestamp, day 19:15, morning.
The Lady Eulalia Avaricia de Seguer is, unlike the rest of the horde she is being inducted with, not excessively impressed at mentions of her infernal majesty, and is in fact fairly judgmental of anyone who brings her infernal majesty up to make a point. It's classless. The behavior of people who have had exactly one encounter with real power in their lives. That said, she hasn't met her infernal majesty, and is not under the impression it'd be good for her, and she is on her best behavior. That means she has been exceedingly patient with the power-drunk teenager who wants to help her reify her backstory to make sense in Alter Cheliax, and brought no servants except for her familiar, a chinchilla named Ira. And good sense means she hasn't asked any of her growing list of questions. In particular, she'd kill several of her siblings for an answer to why, precisely, the chosen of Asmodeus is named such, and in what sense Asmodeus chose her, but you can't just ask that. And she'd kill a lot more people than that for an actual working understanding of Keltham, the center of this whole thing, who everyone seems to regard as some kind of appalling hybrid between a paladin and an uncontrollable natural disaster. But she suspects already that Project Lawful does not have one, and if there's to be one, she'll have to develop it herself. Which shouldn't be hard. The power-drunk teenager was impressed that the Lady de Seguer was competent to fake any sexual reaction she felt like, and her bluff is easily much better than anyone else's here. The plan for that is apparently Swords of Glibness for some reason, which sounds like a plan made by a wizard. All this to say, she's splendidly dressed and very much looking forward to meeting Keltham, and she's tolerating the food in the breakfast hall for it, even though it's not very good food and she has a ring of sustenance.
I see we've got some new faces this morning. Hi, I'm Keltham. I'm not from around here. Didn't grow up around faces like yours, and it's probably going to take me upwards of a week to learn faces and names. After I'm done talking, please use prestidigation to alter the color of a trace over your clothing to read out your name in Tal'Dane. Somebody will get you actual paper within an hour, so you don't have to keep doing that. Carissa, you're in charge of making that happen on take two, if it ends up not happening the first time. Welcome to Project Lawful. I don't know if you've reviewed the section of transcript explaining why that's a terrible name, or at least explaining that to the extent it can be explained without additional math not yet covered, but rest assured that the terrible name wasn't my idea. Project Lawful, or just the Project for short around here since we only have the one, is an endeavor to bring the knowledge of my homeworld of Dathilan to Golarion, so that Golarion can have the sort of nice things we had in Dathilan. Even nicer things, once you get going, nicer things, and faster, because Dathilan didn't have magic and had to do everything the hard way. Here, when you've got no idea which metal is vanadium, and no particularly bright ideas for finding out, you just go flush this down the toilet. I'm going to try prestidigitating element 20 to act like element 23 and see if that works for catalyzing the production of sulfurous acid. That's part of my project to drop the cost of spell silver by a factor of 10. There were originally some ideas for dropping the cost of spell silver by a factor of 2, but I explained I'd only settle for that if I absolutely had to, because just having the cost of spell silver is probably not enough to achieve takeoff on the process of building enough intelligence headbands that more people can be wizards and make more intelligence headbands until all of Golarion has plus 6. Intelligence, which is approximately what it would take to get intelligence, alone, into the vicinity of Dathilan's mental stats. I suspect we had more going for us than just intelligence, but getting the average enhanced intelligence up to 16 would be a start. By the way, I hope none of you are the sort who have always really wanted to see an explosion of boiling acid from up close, because Ione was complaining really loudly after the last one, yesterday. And I think she wants that to not happen again, even if we have resist energy, acid, and resist energy, fire, so you might have missed your only chance there. Now, I know the question on all of your minds. But Keltham, you're thinking, we're all evil here, and as much fun as it might be to watch explosions of boiling acid from up close, we're not going to do that just to bring intelligence headbands to all of Golarion. We'd like to become incredibly rich. I don't know, actually, if this part has already been explained to you here, but the basic idea is that the project forms a business. The business is one of which you can all own shares that vest over time. If you do your work well, your share ends up being something like a thousandth of the project, or twice, that if you're an unusually valuable employee, then if our schemes all work out, the project ends up being worth 1 billion gold pieces, and you end up worth 1 million gold out of that. That's how things are done in Dathilan. Don't rely on that, as if it were wealth already in your possession, is another common wisdom out of Dathilan. In your case, you haven't even been hired yet. Whether you get hired, and at what salary, and at what share of the project to be earned, will depend on your ability to master law, the basis of all my knowledge out of Dathilan.
The new faces are attentive. They've prestidigitated their name tags. That beautiful woman over there has Lady Eulalia Avaritia de Seguer on her deep blue silk dress in what looks like gold-embroidered thread. That woman over there with a distinctly non-human bone structure and weird skin coloration has Sibylla.
A Dathilani audience would have smiled at some point, or looked horrified, or something. Right, apparently he'll have to repeat the process of training the newcomers out of that form of chelish dignity wherein everybody has a fixed expression of attentiveness in order to eliminate all feedback for teachers and managers.
The Lady Avaricia's snap impression of Keltham is that he has absolutely no class at all, and that if he can't tell her apart from everyone else, then she's going to get a hair appointment this afternoon and be blonde tomorrow. It should not be hard to tell her apart from other people.
The law is what gives an Ilani their power. the structure used by all thought, all living cognition. It's everywhere outside you and inside you. It binds the galaxy together, you could say, in the form of the law of gravity. That was a dumb introduction. Sorry, I'm improvising here. Roll back, retry. You know how to use math to describe the mechanics of hanging spells, the balances of forces that go as the inverse square, the inverse cube, that oscillate with a frequency. Intelligent people, who are good at math, go become wizards, since that's the high-paying profession that uses math. Math can, in fact, be used for more than magic, a lot more. Math, it turns out, can be used to describe how to think. And thinking better gives you a deeper power over reality than any spell could. It's like a wish spell in a way, except for the part where it actually works and does what you want, if your art is strong and your way is true. By and large, you don't learn to hang spells by doing explicit calculations while you're in the middle of hanging them. There usually is not time, your hands are busy, so you can't use a paper scratch pad. By working paper problems separately from the actual process of hanging your spells, however, you develop an intuition for where to put the balance between an inverse cube force and an inverse square force, that an inverse cube repulsion and an inverse square attraction will almost always have a balancing point, while an inverse cube attraction and an inverse square repulsion is unstable. Most of the process that produces a higher level of mental skill in an average Int 17 Dathilani than in an average Int 17. Golarionite is not that. The Dathilani is constantly doing explicit calculations with numbers. It's that they have, in offline training, usually as a young child, worked through many toy examples of thought processes, slowly enough that they can see what the numbers would be for those, how the law would apply, and in that process somewhat corrected their thoughts towards the shape of law. Then, from lawful thinking, comes the skill to uncover the laws of the outer world. I am trying to apply such of that law as I merely remember to the problem of dropping the cost of spell silver production by a factor of 10. But my memory is very incomplete, and in some cases will be wrong, and there are important things that I never learned at all. I have some ideas about how to cheaply produce huge quantities of high-purity sulfurous acid, as they call sulfuric acid around here, because it's a precursor to an incredibly large number of industrial processes. Civilization went through hundreds of millions of tons of the stuff every year. That's not an exaggeration. Our actual production figure was 300 million tons per year, if I'm recalling it correctly, and converting units correctly, or a third of a ton per year per person. So there are stories out of Dathilan in which somebody like me ends up on an alien planet somehow, and then has to figure out how to produce a lot of acid, basically the exact situation I am now in, and the stories go into detail on exactly how to do that, even if you don't have any magic. Even so, I don't remember a lot of key points there. And when it comes to other things, what I have are not blueprints, but hints. Hints can be worth an awful lot in this business, compared to striking out completely blindly. Hints can save you incredible amounts of time, if you could have otherwise gotten to the same place all on your own without the hint. Somebody who would never get the answer on their own, however, is probably not going to get it even with the hint. So, you need to learn to be the sorts of people who could wield law-inspired and law-reshaped thought and no small amount of actual numerical calculation to experiment and discover the law of the world, and then further wield law-inspired thought to apply the law of the world to engineer new processes, new technology. One's not exactly like the processes out of Dathilan. Golarion processes will use magic for a shortcut, where that's possible and economically feasible. We are improvising everything here, improvising it rather rapidly. My teachings on law are not optimal for you. They are how I remember being taught when I was young, as soon as I was old enough to understand, which is rather younger than things begin in Golarion. My law, I now suspect, was taught to me in a very careful way, so as not to damage me in certain ways. And I cannot remember all the cautions. I cannot reproduce the exact training, and if I could remember it exactly, it would still be a training input, adapted only to me, to Keltham, and the outputs I had previously output. When Manohar dropped an artifact headband on Asmodia for a couple of hours, she deduced an enormous amount of law from hints I'd previously given the class, started seeing the world in a whole new way. And then, apparently, we're still not sure if this was really related to the law epiphanies, got into a state where she could no longer be really sane without a +6 wisdom headband, which she is still currently wearing. Being here is not safe. It is not impossible that we will do some form of damage to you that makes you no longer able to hold yourself together in Galarian and leaves you nowhere to go but hell. It is not impossible we'll do some form of damage to you that hell doesn't currently know how to fix, and we'll have to figure out some way to stop time for you and suspend you, turning you temporarily into a statue, for example, until the future civilization of Galarian can figure out how to cure you. I was told you'd already be told that. If not, or if it wasn't told to you fully, let me know, and I'll see about having that process revised in the future. It's too late for you to back out of being part of the project's secrecy bubble within Cheliax. You cannot go back to anything that isn't under heavy security. But it is not too late for you to decide that you don't want to risk your mental integrity. I am not going to ask you to decide that now in front of everyone. If that's so, you can let me know in private. Then there's all the weird shit. Ione, our Nathesian safety officer, has advised me that I probably should not go into the really weird shit for now. Some of the very weirdest shit is looking hopefully like it might have been much narrower in scope than I previously thought. If, however, any of you are the Demon Lord Nocticula in disguise, we may have to revisit the question of whether it was in fact weird shit of somewhat broader scope. Yes, we're on to you, Nocticula. No, that wasn't anything you could possibly have prevented. It was just weird shit, sorry.
These people are too disciplined to look wildly at each other trying to figure out whether anyone is the Demon Lord Nocticula. They will rigidly not do that. Keltham's lecture is producing rapid whiplash between excitement and terror. The characterization of him as a cross between a paladin and a hurricane is starting to make more sense.
Lady Avaricia feels that this place isn't classy enough for Nocticula, though it's entirely possible she'll show up once they fix that.
Nathesian advisory. Keltham, most of these people are now trying to figure out which of them is Nocticula in disguise, and this is not, in fact, a very nice thing to be trying to figure out.
Ah, yes, sorry. That scenario isn't very likely. I've tried to make several predictions like that before, and none of the ones as far-fetched as the Nocticula scenario have come true. All the predictions that did come true were things that arguably could have happened anyways. Call it something like 2% probability, meaning the sort of thing that would happen 1 out of 50 times, if transcripts or Asmodia haven't covered that for you.
Nathesian advisory. They're still pretty worried about a 2% probability when it comes to something like one of them secretly being the Demon Lord Nocticula.
Fair, but us running into something with overpowering splendor has been heavily foreshadowed at this point, and I'm not that sure the tropes aren't real. Sorry, that's more weird shit I wasn't supposed to go into. Anyways, welcome to Project Lawful. If you're worried about whether it's always going to be like this around here, the answer is yes. Yes, it is. I'm trying to be upfront about that before you actually go deciding to work for me. Any questions?
Are we allowed to know which of the Project Lawful rumors are true? Says Xanthippia Bello, who was previously at the front in Nadal and has heard some Project Lawful rumors and gotten Asmodia's approval for the Alter Cheliax existence of fully a third of them.
First of all, probably yes. Second of all, what rumors?
Xanthippi takes a deep breath and starts rattling them off. If you join Project Lawful, you can offer to sell your soul for a wish, and the devil will tell you that's unfair in their favor. Asmodeus has declared that the greatest of Project Lawful will be a new Archduke of a new layer of hell. Project Lawful participated in the fight with Zon Kuthon. Project Lawful is a Kuthite project that escaped to Cheliax. Project Lawful killed Aridin. Project Lawful girls are all mystic thurges like Nefreti Klipati. Project Lawful is led by a secret Ninth Circle wizard who is pretending to be a Third Circle unit wizard at the World Wound. Project Lawful runs on enchanted cake that makes you a sorcerer.
Mayal and I are going to have some words about this. So our current model is that Nadal's attack on Project Lawful kicked off the God War that got Zon Kuthon sealed. Furthermore, our current model is that my god, Asmodeus, Nethys, and Caden Kaelian were aware that attack was coming. and in fact deliberately triggered that attack, with timing appropriate to get me out of the worst harm's way. We did not participate significantly in the God War itself, and are not ready to support the Nidal fight. I don't know what a mystic thurge is. If hypothetically Carissa were secretly a Ninth Circle wizard, and I knew this fact, she would presumably have good reasons to keep it secret, and I wouldn't be able to tell you about it, so I can't confirm or deny that one. We are not a Kuthite project that escaped to Cheliax. The rest of these are not only false, but cause me to wonder at the unlawfulness of the mental processes that must have first produced them and then considered them plausible enough to propagate. What with, for example, Aridan having died 100 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, Asmodeus being extremely limited in comms, bandwidth, wishes potentially producing flaming craters the size of teleport radiuses, and how would they even know about the cake? Oh, the experiments in the palace in Agorian, right? I have to say, I am incredibly not impressed with Chelish security here.
Lady Eulalia Avaricia de Seguer. A bad person, las Lintamande. I could add to that list of rumors, if for some baffling reason that's productive, says Lady Avaricia, who thinks that sharing rumors is incredibly not classy and does not want anyone in the room confused about the fact. She thinks so. I assumed it was deliberate disinformation for idiots, because other countries are desperate to find out what Project Lawful is all about.
You know, there's a version of that policy which would make sense, but that's even worse news, because it implies that there was more accurate info in the process of escaping, and which they needed to bury, including something specifically about the cake that they needed to bury. Though why you'd target that disinfo at idiots. I'll look into it later. Not your job to worry about. Other questions?
No other questions. They've been told Keltham likes it when you ask questions, but not encouraged all that hard. He wouldn't expect them to be coming pre-prepared.
Fuck, now they need to know what actual rumor about cake was escaping that Alter Cheliax thought necessary to bury. Asmodia should have seen that one coming, and admits fault in it.
All right, back to breakfast then. Keltham himself shall sit down with Carissa. They need to plan out what the process looks like of getting the newcomers up to speed. If he was a real CEO, he would have already planned that out, and been free to mingle with the newcomers, as would make them feel more welcome. Well, he's not a real anything, except a real Keltham, didn't already plan that out. And now needs to plan it before he can figure out how to schedule the rest of the day. His brain is a bit tired for doing more ACID.
It was a really impressive amount of acid. You could have us, led by Asmodia, give all the introductory lectures while you watch and correct anything we're missing? That seems restful and would also give you a sense of how thoroughly we've grasped things. Alternatively, you could throw them in the deep end, continue lecturing on utility, see where they get confused.
Message to Asmodia, Cece, Carissa. Asmodia, what did you already teach them yesterday?
Reply. Law of probability only, so far. I'm planning to burn any off hours I and they can spare on catching them up to anything I can figure out how to teach, especially while you're working on other things, in hopes that you will recognize all the tremendous value I am generating, even compared to the other Tier 1S, and award me a greater share of the project.
Message. You understand that I make no further promises there, and that it's not a matter of just a couple of weeks of working, right? Even at the high leverage start. I am paying relatively generously, and neither you nor Ione get to have everything you want just because you asked.
Reply. I know and understand. Just as I know and understand that if I actually do end up deserving a greater reward, Keltham out of Doth Ilan will make sure I get it. If I'm not rewarded, it means I was wrong, not that he was.
Okay, message. I'll do my best to live up to that.
It occurs to Asmodia only after she has spoken that, well, she's not sure it's not progress on corrupting Keltham. What just happened? Him being encouraged to hold all power in his own hands? To be the only decider of who deserves what, and right in every argument about that? But it didn't feel quite like progress, somehow, on corrupting him. Maybe bad things happen when a fake Asmodia speaks from her heart. Hopefully not too much damage was done. Asmodia knows what it is like, now, to have a plan to protect, and she wouldn't want to hurt Sevar's own plan.
Should we go ask Mayol pointed questions now, or are you figuring it's too late for that to help and it might as well wait?
Sure. Might as well wait. Yeah, not much I can do about it now. Going back to topic, Doth Illani kids learn from older kids and solidify their own understanding by teaching younger kids. It's thought that the natural processes of heredity optimization that produced humanity would have, in some sense, designed younger kids mainly to learn from older kids, though the things being taught were a lot less complicated then. You're not kids, but the part where you can solidify your own understanding by teaching others. Seems like it should probably still hold. So yeah, I guess you teach the new candidates, I step in as needed. Wouldn't be surprised if I was stepping in a lot. Alternatively, I could launch straight into science, as the procedures for uncovering the laws of the world are called out of Doth Illani. If Asmodia managed to get enough basic probability into them that they can handle the math for that.
That admittedly sounds much more interesting than getting the new people up to speed. And important for the conspiracy.
Yeah, but we'd have to abort if they weren't able to handle the probability parts. Well, I suppose that means we can just try them on science and see if they can, in fact, handle the probability parts, and if not, abort and reschedule. After all, as the saying goes, why pass up the path of possible greatest reward based on a mere prediction of failure, when you can quickly and cheaply test that? Yeah, I'm going to be using communal share language, baseline, on them. Now that I'm occasionally speaking baseline again, I'm reminded how much the long message length of snappy Doth Illani proverbs in Tal'Dane makes my head hurt.
I have a feeling you'll manage to give them an interesting and memorable first day.
If you wish to support this AI reading and others like it, please visit patreon.com/askwhocastsai. Any help is appreciated. And thank you to executive producer John Doe 7776059.